Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
2 Peter chapter number 1, I want to pick up reading in verse number 1. The Bible said this, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Now know what he says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look back in verse number 6. The Bible says this, and to knowledge temperance. And to knowledge temperance. And then into temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Now, I want to look at that one word tonight, temperance, and preach to you a little while on that tonight. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us tonight. I pray, God, that we'd get understanding from your word, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless, Father, the need of the service tonight, God. I pray, Lord, Father, that you'd touch every need that's here, touch every heart that's here, and we'll give you glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Again, I want to look into this for just a little bit tonight and see if the Lord would help us. I love this passage of Scripture right here. Matter of fact, if we go on down below this, he begins to talk about stirring us up by putting us in remembrance. And I've got a message that I preach on, remind me, dear Lord, or some things that we need to be reminded of out of this passage. Just a topical message dealing with the Lord stirring us up and putting us in remembrance. And you know, every once in a while we do need to be reminded of how good the Lord is to us. Amen. I got it wrote down here in the flyleaf of my Bible. Lord, remind me of the day that you saved me. Lord, remind me of the danger of sin. Lord, remind me of the delight in serving you. And Lord, remind me of the destination of the sinner. We need to be reminded of those things every once in a while. But here, as we look tonight into this word temperance simply means this. It means self-control. It means having control. Now, hear me tonight and help me as I preach and we'll get done. Controlling our emotions. I did not get one amen on that. I got some finger pointing going on, but controlling our emotions, controlling our anger, controlling our attitude. Somebody help me tonight. That's what he's talking about. He said that we need to add temperance to our life. Now, know what he says. Watch the progression of this. He says in verse number 5, and besides giving all diligence, add to your faith. Add to your faith. What was it that saved us? Of course, it was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But what did we have to do? We had to put our faith in the Lord. We had to ask God to forgive us of our sins. And by faith, we trust that He done that. And by faith, we believe that He will take us to heaven one day. So what does the writer say to us tonight? Here's what the writer is saying to us. Says, we look into this scripture, Peter is saying, add to your faith. Now, watch this tonight. Salvation is not progressional. You said, preacher, what do you mean? Here's what I mean by that. Salvation is instantaneous. In other words, amen goes right there. The night I realized I was lost and on the road to hell, I prayed and asked God to forgive me of my sins and to come into my heart and save me. What happened that very moment? I got saved by the grace of God. Instantly, God moved into my heart. God forgave me of my sins and God saved me. Our salvation is instantly, but our sanctification is progressive. You said, Brother Jonathan, what do you mean by that? In other words, here's what I mean. When I first got saved, there are some things that I do that I don't do now. Let me tell you the reason why God spoke to my heart about that, and God showed me that they was wrong. Can I say it this way? There were some things that I didn't do also, but now I do. Why? Because the Lord worked in my heart and He added to my faith. He said, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of the Word of God, knowledge of the will of God, knowledge of the ways of God. But then He said this, and to knowledge temperance. He said, you're going to have to learn how to control yourself. Amen. Boy, ain't we having a good service tonight at Amazing Grace. Now help me. You need to learn how to control yourself. You know what people says this sometimes? Well, preacher, I just got a problem and I can't help it. You don't want to help it then. You don't want to help it then. You say, well, I just can't. Well, the Bible said this, with God, nothing was impossible. With God, nothing was impossible. I've heard people say this to me before, and I don't mean this ugly. I'm just being honest with you, and I'm just preaching to us. And I've heard people say, preacher, I got a problem with my mouth, and I just can't help it. That's just the way I am. No, you can help that. Right. Preacher, I got a problem with my emotions. I'm just up, and I'm just down. That's just the way I am. It's just the way God made me, and I can't help that. No, you can help that. Because He said that we add temperance to our life after we get saved. We add self-control to our life. I thought about this verse. Proverbs 25:28 says this, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. You know what he's saying right there? Here's what he said. You're setting yourself up to be destroyed. Can I just say this to you? And I'm not necessarily preaching on the tongue tonight, but can I say this to you? You can say things in a matter of a few seconds that you'll never be able to take back that'll ruin your character and ruin your testimony for the rest of your life. Right. You know what he's saying to us? Here's what he's saying to us tonight. You need to learn self-control. You need to learn self-control. What causes a lack of self-control? You ever thought about that tonight? What causes a lack of self-control? Here's a verse, Brother Dakota, that I thought about, Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let me tell you how to keep yourself under control, by walking in the Spirit. By walking in the Spirit. You know what, before we say anything, pray. Lord, should I say that? Lord, should I react that way? Here not long ago, man, I'm telling you, I got mad. My wife and one other lady in this church knows about it, and that's it. I got so mad, I was the maddest I'd been in years. I'm just being honest, Brother Bay. I was the maddest I'd been in years, probably in 20 years. And Brother Gavin, I really wanted to say some things. And I done made up my mind, bless God, I was going to say some things. Are you with me? Anybody else ever been there? Now, y'all put your halos away tonight. And you know what I had to do? I had to pray about it. I had to pray while I was having a conversation with the individual. While they was talking, Brother Aaron, I was having to pray, God help me keep my mouth shut. Let me tell you the reason why my Christian character, Brother Ramsey, is more important than me opening my mouth and proving that I was right about what I was talking about. Are you hearing me? What's he saying? He's saying that we need to add virtue to our life. I mean, that we need to add temperance to our life. We need to add self-control to our life. That self-control, how do we do that? Why is there a lack of self-control? It's because we're not walking in the Spirit. It's what did God say? He said, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. You know what we're doing at that moment? We're walking in the Spirit. Let me show you a couple of quick things tonight. Number one, there is the classic struggle. There is a classic struggle. Watch this. The day I got saved, my soul got saved. But my flesh did not get saved. My papa would say it this way. I have a lot of trouble with this flush right here. That's what he called it, was flush. He'd say, I got a lot of trouble with this flush right here. You know, I did get saved. There's no doubt about that. You can't convince me that I'm not saved tonight. You can't make me doubt my salvation tonight, because I know that I know that I know. I put my faith in what God said in this book, and I know that I'm saved. But can I say something tonight? This flesh, gives us trouble. This flesh causes us to do things and say things that we wish we'd have never done or ever said. Somebody say amen right there. Why? Because there is a classic struggle that goes on in our life. There is a classic struggle. Listen to what your Bible said in Romans chapter number 7. Verse number 18 says this. And if you've never read Romans 7, you ought to go home and read it tonight. Here's what he says. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not do, that I do. Did you catch what Paul just said to us? Paul's an experienced Christian when he's writing the book of Romans. He's not a young Christian. You know what Paul says? Paul says this. Paul says, I know what I'm supposed to do, but doggone it, I find myself not doing that. And I know what I'm not supposed to do, but you know what? That's what I find myself doing. I fought this battle right here yesterday. No, it wasn't about going out and scooping into sin and getting out into sin. I'm talking about in our daily Bible reading, in our daily Bible studies, in our daily prayer. We know we're supposed to do that, but how many times do we fail in doing that? Now somebody say amen and help me tonight. There is a classic struggle, and here's what he says. You need to learn how to have self-control. Can I put it this way? You need to learn self-discipline. You need to learn self-discipline. You need to learn how to prioritize. Amen. Amen. You know what, one thing, we'll start back in Bible college here in a few weeks or a few months, and here's what I'll say, Brother Brian. I'll say it the opening night. Now, you've got your homework assignment. It's due on week 10. You've got 10 weeks to do that. If you wait to week 9 and start it on week 9, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be pushed. You're going to do sloppy work. It's not going to be much count. So start right now. And you know what's going to happen? About half of those students is going to wait to week 9 and a half. I'm surprised there ain't a couple wives saying amen tonight. They're going to wait about week 9 and a half, and then they're going to try to get it done. You want me to tell you the reason why? There's no self-control. There is a classic struggle that goes on in our life. When it comes to reading your Bible, you want me to tell you the reason you don't read it the way you should some days? It's because there's a struggle going on in your life. And what do, we allow the devil to prevail over God. The classic struggle when it comes to the temptations of this world. When it comes to the temptations, and I know I've said a little bit about this. I'm not really preaching on it, but I'm going to hit it while we're there. When it comes to opening your mouth or closing your mouth, you want me to tell you the reason you can't keep your mouth closed? Because you can't control yourself. Because you're not walking in, amen, Brother Jonathan, you're not walking in the Spirit. You know what? I don't want the testimony of a blabbermouth. I don't want that testimony. I don't want the testimony of the person that knows everything about everything and everything that's going on and all the gossip of everybody. If you know all the gossip, let me tell you the reason you know all the gossip is because you're a gossiper. Amen, Brother Jonathan. That's exactly right. Let me tell you the reason some old people knows everything that goes on in the community, Brother Ramsey, because they sit around and listen to a pager. They sit around and listen to a scanner all the time. Now that part of it's gone to 800, it's harder to do. But years ago, man, you could walk into any old person's house, and they had one of them scanners sitting there, Brother Stan, and they knew if it was your voice on there or not because they'd listen so much to it. You want me to tell you the reason why? Because you listen. You want me to tell you the reason so many people know so much about everything that's going on everywhere? It's because they sit around and they feed off of gossip. And the Bible simply tells us not to do that. And the reason people have trouble with it is because there's no temperance. And there is a classic struggle that goes on. Watch this, number two. Not only a classic struggle, but there's a critical issue. Listen to what the Bible said in Ephesians chapter number 3 verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Ephesians 5:18 says this, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Listen to what he said in Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You say, well, preacher, what is the critical issue? The critical issue is this tonight, that we need to walk in the Spirit. That we need to walk with God. That we need to fellowship with the Lord. That is the critical issue tonight. The reason so many Christians like self-control is simply because they are not filled with the Spirit of God. It's because our relationship with God is not what it's supposed to be. And I want you to hear me tonight. The critical issue in our country today, in our churches today, in our homes today, is there is not the filling of the Holy Spirit of God like they once was. Man, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not talking about just preachers. I'm talking about old saints of God. I'm talking about some of them old women that wore their hair up in a bun that was in tune with God. They walked right. They talked right. They lived in fellowship with the Lord. And can I say something to you tonight? If you want your temperance to be right, if you want your self-control to be right, you're going to have to stay in fellowship with God. That is the critical issue tonight. You cannot be involved in all the happenings of the world and the community around you and be in fellowship with God. Amen. You know what? It'd be amazing what kind of revival would sweep our country if people got as concerned about what the Lord had to say as what Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Sister Wigglejaws down at the beauty shop had to say. I'm just being honest with you. If we was concerned as much as what God had to say and being in fellowship with God as we are those things. Temperance tonight, self-control. There's a classic struggle. There's a critical issue, but watch this. I preached all night to get here. There's a course of action. Well, if I'm going to have self-control, if I'm going to practice temperance, what is my course of action? Well, let me just read you some verses tonight. The Bible said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know what Paul was saying? Here's what Paul's saying. He's saying, I crucify myself. I allow Christ to live through me. It's not my desires that I'm worried about. It's not my wants that I'm worried about. Everybody all right there? It's pleasing the Father. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Listen to what the Bible said in Luke 9:23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, what, daily, and follow me. Let him deny himself. It's not what I want, Lord. It's not saying what I want to say, Lord. It's not acting the way I want to act, Lord. It's acting the way you want me to act. It's saying what you want me to say. The other day we was at a place and the individual was just rude. I mean, just rude. And I, hey, look, I understand you short staff, but you don't have to be rude. Can I get an amen right there? And I understand that. And as far as restaurants not having to help and things like that, we probably ought to just get used to that. That's probably the new normal. So I'll just go to the store and buy my food and bring it home or call it in and get it to go. But I'm telling you, they was just plumb rude. And I right when I started to say something, the Lord hit me in the back of the head. I walked out. I looked at Leslie. I had a shirt on that said Dobson Rescue Squad. I had a shirt on. I looked at Leslie. I said, if I hadn't had this shirt on, I'd have probably said something in there today. And God said, it wasn't the shirt that kept you from saying anything. It was me. Are you hearing me tonight? Preacher, how can I overcome this? It's that we learn to take up our cross daily, church. The course of action is this. Every morning when we wake up, we say, Lord, here's my life. Whenever we start to say something, you ever started to say something and then stopped and then went ahead and said it? That was God saying, whoa. Think about this before you say anything. Well, it's going to make me feel better. What's it going to do to the cause of Christ? Amen. The course of action. Listen to what he said in Romans 6. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. And you know what? Here's exactly what he's saying, church. Here's what he's saying to us tonight. When we say that, or we react to that, we are yielding ourselves to the devil and to the flesh instead of yielding ourselves to the Lord. That's deep, isn't it? I mean, you got to have a Hebrew and Greek lexicon to understand that, don't you? That's exactly what he's saying to us tonight. Now, I don't know about anybody else in this room, but I think I know about a few, and I think I can say this for a few of us. I'm not interested in yielding myself to Satan. I've done that for 16 years. I'm interested in yielding myself to Christ. Listen to what he said in Romans 8. He said, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know what he's saying to us tonight? Here's simply what he's saying. He's saying that we learn to die to ourselves and we learn to depend upon Christ. You say, preacher, I can't keep my mouth shut. You're right, but God can. You say, preacher, I can't do this. You're right, but God can. You say, preacher, I've got this addiction and I know it's not of God and I'm trying to break and I just can't. You're right, but God can. And that's simply what he's saying to us in our course of action tonight. For us to have self-control, then we have to learn to yield our instruments to God and not to the flesh. Let me show you one last thing. There's a classic struggle. There's a critical issue. There is a course of action. But there's a continuous process. Look in 1 Corinthians 9. I'll read it to you. Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but listen right here, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, listen to what Paul said, I myself should be a castaway. You know what Paul's saying? Paul is saying this. Come start playing softly, Miss Tanya, if you don't mind. Paul is simply saying this to us tonight. Every day of my life, I don't get saved again. Somebody say amen right there. But every day of my life, I have to crucify my flesh, Brother Brian. And I have to tell John he's not running the show that day, that God is running the show that day. I've given this illustration before here. I know I have. Daddy gave it years ago when I was a little boy. And here's what he said. He said there was an old man lived up in the mountains and had two boys. Their mama died. And they had an old hound dog that laid out on the front porch, and said that old man got up one morning early, went outside to get some wood to put on the fire. And when he went outside to get some wood, said that old hound dog was laying there dead. And he walked back in the house and he told those boys, he said, get out of the bed and take old Blue up there on the side of the hill and bury him. And they said, all right. So they got out of the bed. They got old Blue and took him up on the side of the mountain and they buried him. They went about their daily chores, and that night they went to bed, and the next morning the old man got up early to go outside to get some wood to put on the fire. Whenever he did, guess who was laying on the front porch? Old Blue. He walked back in there, rolled them boys out of the bed, and he said, I thought I told you to take that old dog and bury him up there on the side of the mountain. And they said, Paul, we took old Blue up there and buried him on the side of the mountain. He said, well, he's laying out here on the front porch again. He said, so you need to go out there, you need to get that dog, and you need to take him up there on the side of the mountain, and you need to bury him. And them old boys got out of the bed and went outside. They got that dog, they took him up on the side of the mountain and buried him. They went about their daily chores, went to bed that night. The next morning they woke up, old man walked outside to get some wood to put on the fire, and guess who was laying on the front porch again? Old Blue. Some old dogs had come through during the night and dug him up and drug him back up there again. That old man walked back in the house, and guess what he done? He got them two boys up. Did y'all know he was going to do that? He got them two boys up. He said, you're going to go out there and you're going to bury old Blue. And they said, Daddy, we have done it. Over and over we've done it. He said, well, he's back out here on the porch again this morning. Now get up, go bury old Blue. One of them said, well, Pa, how many times are we going to have to bury old Blue? And here's what Pa said, until he quits getting up. You said, preacher, how many times am I going to have to crucify my flesh until it quits getting up? Said, preacher, how many times am I going to have to pause before I say things because I have a problem with my tongue? Until you quit having a problem with it. And let me tell you when that's probably going to be, either when you die or the Lord comes back. We're going to have to bury ourselves every day. We're going to have to crucify ourselves every day. We're going to have to tell ourselves every day. One reason that I make a list of things. This afternoon, I sat in the office and I made a list of things that I need to get done tomorrow here at the church. And let me tell you one reason I've done that. If I don't do that in the morning, Brother Brian, I'll get up. And after I get up, I'll eat me some breakfast. And I'll pray a minute. And I'll read a minute. And then you know what I'll do, Brother Aaron? I'll take off and lollygag around about half a morning. And you know what I'll do? I'll justify it. I promise you, I can justify it. I'll say, well, this person, I needed to go see them and talk to them about the Lord and this and that one. And before you know it, you've stopped by the sheriff's office and three's called you and you've went to CID and they've talked to you about the weekend and everything that they've had. And before you know it, well, it's 5:30 Monday afternoon. And they had nothing got done that really needed to get done for the cause of Christ. We have to learn temperance in our life. We have to learn self-control in our life. You said, "Preacher, how long will I battle self-control? How long will I battle my flesh? How long will I battle my temper? How long will I battle my emotions?" Till you die or the Lord comes back. So the critical issue is this. You ought to be filled with the Spirit of God. Every morning you wake up, you need to take time and say, "God, thank you for letting me wake up again today. Thank you for letting me breathe another time today. But God, today I'm going to face a lot of temptations. And Lord, I need you to help me today. I need the filling of the Holy Ghost of God. Lord, guide my mouth today. God, guide my tongue today. God, guide my eyes today. God, guide my ears today. God, guide my feet today. God, guide my mind today." And then look in the mirror and say, "You're not running the show today, buddy. God is." Self-control. We got to have.